Sean Higgins has been good enough to join me, Geelong star, to have a chat. We'll go back to your calls and your texts very shortly on the text machine. Thanks to Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, mattresses and pillows like neither. As I mentioned, Todd Goldstein a little bit later on, and Sam Edmund will bring us the latest news on this scenario facing the Sydney Swans coaching staff, who've been in isolation, but they've been given negative results. So they haven't tested positive to COVID with their tests, so they'll be able to travel. Welcome to you, Sean. Great to have you on the line. Thanks for joining me again.
No, thanks for having me, Dwayne. Good afternoon.
Blighty raised it on Gerard Whateley's program earlier today about how, you know, star power wins your flags, but Richmond might be one of the exceptions to the rules. I was talking about the fact that they only had one All-Australian last year when they won the flag, and two the year before when they won the flag, and just two in 2017 when they won the flag. Geelong's had more All-Australians in Richmond's three premiership years than Richmond.
Yeah, it's always interesting to break that down, and especially the combination of, well, your first part of your question in terms of winning the big games, coach v system v star power. To answer it pretty short from my end, it's probably a combination of all three, isn't it? I mean, we've seen the Richmond system over a long period of time be as good as anyone. It's why they've got the success over the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, looking from an outside last year at the grand final, when push come to shove, it was a bit of star power that got them over the line. But maybe it was the coach and the system that got them to that situation. So there's always a combination. I know you would be able to recall in decades further back than me, but, you know, premiership coaches have gone to teams, not had the success. They're able to do it when they've got the right players. They've also been able to go in and change a side who had star players that couldn't get a result and then turn them into a premiership team as well. So I don't think it's a one size fits all. I think you need the combination of all, and at different times, probably one takes over from the other. And maybe that's why Richmond have been so good. They've got a great coach, a great system, and combine that with some star players who have stood up at the right time over the last few years.
So how big a game is it tomorrow night? I mean, we rev it up as commentary people, and we rev it up as footy fans because we can't wait to see it. I presume in the minds of the Geelong players, it's pretty revved up as well.
Yeah, you're right. There's, I mean, in the situation we find both teams in the year, it's a big game for that. It's the grand final rematch. You're playing Richmond at the MCG on a Friday night. Any season, that's a big game. You know, the crowd's as big as it's going to be this year, or has been over the last 18 months. So there's a whole range of factors that make this a really big game, and we're building it up as well. We're excited. It's going to be a great challenge. As we touched on just before, they've been the benchmark side for so long. We got a taste last week of just how good they still are, so we're excited to come up against them.
And Chris Scott talked about cracking the code. I presume, even though you won't tell me, he'll be doing and you'll be doing if you're playing something a little different this time around?
Yeah, I think he summed it up pretty well. And we've chatted about it week to week in terms of different teams and even our own game style, that if you watch a bit of footy, I mean, you could probably pull out the key points of the way that each side goes about it and what makes them a good team and maybe what some of their weaknesses are. Then the challenge is for the opposition is to be able to jump on those weaknesses and then also try and nullify some of their strengths. So I think we're pretty clear of what the Richmond game style will look like. We're clear on what we need to do, and then it all comes down to the execution and also the different stages of the game and what the momentum's going to bring. So we feel really well prepared, and then it's going to be a matter of executing what we want to do tomorrow night, and then at the same time is just you know, get in and get the hands dirty a little bit, because it's always a bit of a scrap against Richmond, and we're looking forward to it.
Are you playing?
Yes, I'm at the moment expecting to be out there tomorrow night.
So how much, which is great news, by the way, Sean, we're pretty excited about that, and I'm sure you are as well. So how much is it focused on the matchups and the players that you're now going to face? Because you do know, you know, almost more about Richmond than you know about any other team, and you know more about their individuals. So is there more individual focus on Richmond to try and bring them down than there normally is against other teams?
Yes and no. There's always a clear focus, particularly sort of how most teams would do it, is early part to middle part of the week. You would really look into how the team wants to play. I'm talking about the opposition now, how that team wants to play, what their system looks like and who the key players are within that system and the roles that they play. So you really dig into that and get an understanding of what it's going to look like and what it's looked like over the last 4 or 5 weeks for that team. Then when you start to get within 24, 48 hours, you start to knuckle into, okay, as a group, how are we going to go about it? How do we want the game to look? And then as the game gets closer and closer, you'll start to dive in a little bit more around the forwards, mids and backs. This is what we want to do. And then also individually, okay, what's my role going to look like inside of this? So I guess that's probably maybe what Scotty was saying. That's in some ways the easy part, the Monday to Friday, because we've got all the vision and the coaches that we need to pull it apart and come up with the plan. So we're really clear now on what that is for them and then also for us. And now it comes down to the execution, and in many ways that just falls to the players to get that done on the night.
So is this a pivotal moment in your season then, Sean, given that, well, if you can't beat Richmond, it's going to add to the tally of times you can't beat Richmond?
Well, it's going to add to the tally. I think maybe it's going to stop there because we roll around to another game next Friday night. And I think that's the great thing. In the moment, every game feels massive. But then when you look back, it was only a couple of weeks ago that everyone was riding off Richmond. And now, clearly, they're still the side that we expect them to be. We were probably a little bit similar. You know, teams that wouldn't lose a game, then all of a sudden lose a game. So there's going to be plenty of peaks and troughs throughout the season. But yeah, it's to answer your question, it's a big game, but it's definitely not the be-all and end-all.
You've, with your side that you were with, I'm not sure what your travel arrangements have been, but there's been a COVID test in Sydney. You played in Sydney. So what's been the COVID situation at Geelong for the last 7 days?
Yeah, so that's interesting and just another factor. So we've all been and or have been tested today, probably similar to maybe a few other teams that have had or been in the situation where they've been exposed in an area where COVID's been present. Pretty similar to even, you remember the Brisbane game that we played where it was sort of halfway through the game, that there was an update with a COVID breakout in Brisbane, so the players had to stay. But then on the back of that, we had to be tested because we were playing against Brisbane. So, yeah, we've been tested again. And I just heard you chat a little bit then about the Sydney coaches and players. I'm not fully across that situation, but it sounds like they're similar to us. So, you know, as soon as it's been announced that, and that's what's happened in Sydney, so we've been exposed to that, or some players and staff has. So we all get tested, make sure we all come back negative and we push on.
So I got tested Monday and it took about 20 hours to get mine back. I think I got it back at about 4 a.m. So what's the process? Do you have to isolate whilst you're waiting for your test as well?
Yeah, so we normally get the tick off, probably similar, to be honest. We'll get the text message maybe tonight or at you know, some stage in the few hours after that.
So same process. You wait for your text message like everybody else.
Yeah, we still get the text message like everyone else. Yep. So we would be pretty well similar to, by the sounds of it, exactly what you have to do, Dwayne.
Yeah, but as opposed to me who had a sniffle, and I've tested negative, obviously, because you haven't got a sniffle.
Right,
you
so it wasn't on the back. Yep.
Yeah, so you don't have to actually isolate while you're waiting for your test back. Or are you allowed to train still while you're waiting for your test result to come back?
Yeah, it's business as usual. Last year it was a little bit different when we were in those situations and the, you know, the government and state restrictions were clearly a lot more strict than what we're going through at the moment. But at the moment it's just a test and get the all clear.
The captain's challenge. Joel Selwood wants a captain's challenge, your captain. What do you make of that? Would you trust him with it? Would you get in his ear and advise him on it?
Well, he was adamant last week that there might have been something in it post-siren, but I'm not sure. Maybe in the emotion of last week, that seems like a quick fix and an easy fix. I'll never say never because we've seen it in other sports come in, but I'm not 100% sure how it would work. And at the moment, I wouldn't say I'm I'm hanging out to get that new rule in, but always open to suggestions, that's for sure.
I'm against it. I just put my name down as, and I very rarely say this, but leave the bloody game alone when it comes to captain's challenge. I don't think I'm in for it. I'm sure there'll be ways of doing it that they'll come up with that gets discussed over the next coming years. But I'll put my name down as being against it from word dot. Massive week for the club, Sean. So many people so close to Frank Costa, and the news obviously has devastated a lot of people in the Geelong community as a whole.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be living inside the Geelong bubble to understand the impact that Frank and the Costa family have had on the football club, and but then even more so than that is the region. And you'd know, being a local down there for a number of decades now, and it's always a little bit bittersweet, isn't it, when something like this happens, that you mourn the loss, but at the same time, you get to really appreciate and understand the impact that person has. And in some ways, it'd be nice for that person to be able to hear and appreciate what everyone has to say about them. But the overwhelming support, the messages from people far and wide this week probably goes to, in a small way, sum up the impact that Frank was able to have.
Yeah, nicely said. And the long-term deal that's been thrown up for Christian Petrarca, from a player's point of view, do you think that we're going to see more of these, Sean, locking players in? Because we've got other guys like, you know, Marcus Bontempelli, for example, where the Brodie Grundy deal was interesting. After the Brodie Grundy deal, we thought, oh, well, this won't happen again. But here it is. It's happened again. It's essentially 8 years. Do you think locking players in long-term is going to be a bit more in vogue?
Well, it's the art of list management at the moment, and it's probably going to be even more so given. So I guess from the club point of view, you've got to weigh up the pros and cons. And clearly with free agency and the hype that we've seen over the last few years with these players, that if you're really comfortable that you want that person, player X, to be part of your football club for a long period of time, that they've got a role to play for that period of time, that they're at the right age, their performance is good, and they want to stay, well, maybe it is better than it having a situation where you sign them on a short-term deal, they then become a free agent, potentially your club could dip a little bit, they then, their price goes through the roof. If you do want to keep them, then you're going to have to pay overs or match what some other team in the competition is willing to pay. But then you also run the risk that maybe that player circumstances change and he wants to leave. So I think for the right player, it makes sense. Is it a little bit risky? Well, clearly, because you're now committed for 7 years. But like I said, that's the art of it. You've got to weigh it up. For players like the impact that he's having at the moment, you know, Dusty was similar, then it probably makes sense. And, you know, we saw Buddy was really the first one. And and then you bank on the competition and the salary cap going up, that maybe over the long period of time, if they play out the deal, then maybe the club's benefit and they've got them for unders than what they would have to pay a player like that 4 or 5 years down the track.
And Blighty, before I let you go, Sean, not sure you heard him earlier on, but he had this theory earlier on with Jared Whateley that he thinks there's more injuries after players come off the bench because they're mentally having a bit of downtime and then they're thrust straight into the thick of it again instantaneously, as opposed to if you leave them on, their brain and their mind is already working at that high pace, so they maybe get injuries less in that situation. Your thoughts?
I'm not 100% sure. I haven't really thought too much about that. It feels like injuries increasing at the moment and rotations are lower than they've ever been. So that's one part of it. And we're getting a whole range of injuries, aren't we? Like there's collision injuries, there's soft tissue injuries. I'd need someone to look really closely into that and break down the numbers of what time of the game players are actually getting injured. But I feel like I can only speak of personal experience. When you go to the bench, you're still very much in the game and you're not off for that long anymore. Right? Gone are the days where you'd go to the bench and get, you know, dragged in the old language and sit there for 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, very rarely are you off the ground for any longer than sort of three or four minutes to get your rotation, get your breath and get back out there. So I'm not sure, but he could be onto something, Blotty.
Yeah, it's one of those beautiful left-field, way-out theories that I hope we don't destroy with actual data that says that it's not true. So you don't take your mind off the game at all for a minute and let yourself, you don't meditate yourself out of the game for 20 or 30 seconds to give yourself a mental rest. You actually still stay triggered.
No, well, you try and, I mean, meditate or, you know, catch your breath, sit there, compose yourself. I actually like, and most of our guys would come off and just get a bit of a feel of what the bench coaches and the coaches up in the coaches' box are seeing and feeling and how the game's panning out. And then normally you often come on with a message or a bit of a guide to, you know, where we're going to go for the rest of the remaining part of the quarter as well. So there's a little bit of both. You've got to stop, relax and catch your breath. But at the same time, it's pretty tense in there. And you, like I said, within a minute or two, you're getting ready to come back on anyway.
And one more left field one, Sean, while I've got you. If we do end up having something like a captain's challenge, then you would have to have, for the downtime of it, the ability for a timeout to be called. The captain, he would almost have to call a timeout. Could you see a time when we ever do have a timeout available to a team in a game, even with it's a momentum run, that would be an option?
I can't. And to be honest, I wouldn't be for it because I actually like the momentum in games and some we've seen it this year when teams get a roll on, even when a player gets a roll on, the last thing you want to do is come to the bench and that would be the same for the team. And I think that's the excitement factor. And there's nothing better than MCG when you get a sense that a side's really coming and the atmosphere and the momentum in the game is building. And then to sit out for a minute or two, the whole game to stop, it feels like it'd be a little bit deflating. I don't think that is part of our game. And I really enjoy the wrestle of momentum from side to side. And when a team has it, well, you know, capitalising on that, but then also the opposition, well, how are they going to wrestle it back? And I wouldn't like to see an artificial timeout come into that where then the side gets to catch their breath and it's almost like that's killed in the game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Great stuff, Sean. Always good to be able to pick your brain. Fantastic news that you're looking like being back into the lineup. I know you can't preempt selection, but it sounds like you expect to be picked. But what a great thing that is. Good luck against the Tigers.
Good on you, Dwayne. Thank you.
Sean Higgins, Geelong Star.